The Great Depression generation is about 45 million strong, and now they're leaving us. And there is a lot to deal with because they accumulated a lot, not only over the course of their lifetime, but they kept everything from the previous generation's lifetime. So really, the boomer children today have numerous generations to look after when their parents pass away or become infirm. So if you look at the boomer generation, we're 100 plus million strong. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like in 10 years, but the industry just continues to keep growing and people continue to need good guidance they can trust.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors healthcare.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today I'm very excited to have a really interesting and different guest. We have Julie Hall on the line with us today, and Julie is a nationally recognized estate expert who has successfully assisted thousands of individuals in the daunting and often painful process of managing a loved one's estate. Julie is a member of the Association of Online Appraisers and the American Society of Appraisers. Julie is an author, having authored 5 books, including, was it The Boomer Burden? How to Deal with Your Parents' Lifetime Accumulation of Stuff. Julie is the founder and owner of The Estate Lady, which brings over 25 years' experience and expertise and is called upon nationally to advise, consult, appraise, broker, liquidating estate cleanouts, and downsizing guidance. That's a big role that you play, Julie.
It is a big role, yes.
So can you help us to understand how you got involved in this?
I'd be delighted to. About 30 years ago, I was in my late 20s and I was just getting into the industry. And I met with one of my first clients who happened to be 102 years old. She had outlived her husband and children. She had spent most of her life in Europe. Her possessions were absolutely beautiful and certainly valuable. It was agreed that I would go back 1 week later. And when I did, her home had become like a carnival had gone through it, and the neighbors and her so-called friends had really taken advantage of her and given her $1 for items that were worth hundreds or $10 for items that were worth thousands. And when she discovered that she had been taken advantage of, when I went to visit her home again, she said, "I sure wish us older people had a nice estate lady like you." And right there, the estate lady was born, and I decided to become an advocate for the elderly who need guidance and now to educate their children.
That's a wonderful story. It's sad when our elderly get taken advantage of. I think these days they call it elder abuse.
Yes, and it happens more frequently than you realize, and it's almost always someone that the elderly individual knows.
That's terrible. So it's become like a real industry, I believe. So can you talk us through how it's grown, this industry that you're in?
Well, it's growing right along with the aging statistics. I mean, the Great Depression generation is about 45 million strong, and now they're leaving us. And there is a lot to deal with because they accumulated a lot, not only over the course of their lifetime, but they kept everything from the previous generation's lifetime. So really, the boomer children today have numerous generations to look after when their parents pass away or become infirm. So if you look at the boomer generation, we're 100 plus million strong. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like in 10 years, but the industry just continues to keep growing and people continue to need good guidance they can trust.
What are the common mistakes that people make? Do they believe that their stuff isn't worth much? Is that where they go wrong?
There are many, many mistakes, and I've tried to write the game plan in this book for people. First, the parents fail to plan for the inevitable, and they don't discuss their final wishes with their children. Most of them don't even have a will. And the adult children are very often having to operate from a crisis mode because their parents didn't plan. And when something happens, and something at some point will happen, the children are making very poor decisions. And these mistakes can be financially costly, emotionally costly. They're ridden with guilt. They don't get along with their siblings because nobody's on the same page because there's no plan.
I know a lot of people would have no idea of the value of anything. I know my kids have told me they don't want my stuff, but unless it's really, really old and valuable, but how does the average person know that?
Well, someone like myself can usually walk through their home or the estate. I offer walkthrough consultations. So within a couple of hours, the executor or the children, or even if I'm dealing with the older person myself, they will have an understanding of what has value, what doesn't have value, and they can make good, solid plans from there. I'll even recommend resources to help them.
It's interesting because most people think it's all about the house or the how much cash you might have lying around in bank accounts. They don't really think about what's inside the house, do they?
No, they don't. And what's inside the house is usually the bone of contention. A house can be sold and divided equally. The money can be divided equally, but the heirlooms cannot. So usually there's a struggle over one sibling wanting either too much or another sibling wanting something someone else wanted. So I believe in gifting while you're still living, to minimize any future contention, but also to see the joy on the recipient's face, which is a beautiful thing. It's a good legacy.
That's wonderful. So what are the biggest mistakes that the boomers or the elderly parents are making when it comes to their heirlooms and possessions?
Well, I think it begins with not having those conversations up front and understanding one another. But they don't know the location of their parents' legal documents. They don't know what is to be allocated where. How about keys, passwords, titles, deeds? Most of the time, they don't know the locations either. If dad has a sports car in the garage, but nobody knows where the title or the keys are, that can become quite problematic for the adult child.
Yes, I know someone who's still alive and doesn't know where the keys to their old house down the road is. So downsizing, I've seen that you've written about downsizing. Is there something else that you can help people with when they downsize? Because I'm sure all the stuff doesn't fit into the smaller property. And how do they decide what to keep and what not to keep?
It's a longer process than people realize, and they underestimate the amount of time that it takes. It'll take you a good solid 2 years, 1 year if you're pushing it. But you have to almost break it down into four piles. What is so important to me that I want to keep? What is potentially sellable? What can be donated to help other people? And things that need to be discarded. And sometimes people need a little help understanding what goes into what pile. We donate far more than most people realize.
Wow. And I suppose you don't want to be giving away all the good stuff either.
No, that's why I always recommend don't give it away, don't sell it, don't donate it, don't do anything until you understand the value in today's market. Even if somebody had an appraisal report from 1985, that value is not going to be accurate today because our market is much softer than that.
So have you got any examples that you could share with us?
About any particular subject matter?
Of people having something that's worth something that nobody else knows that it is, or they don't even know.
I certainly can. I went into a house and I was dealing with an elderly executor who just wanted everything removed. The home was full of beautiful things, but in the basement, I saw laundry baskets piled with dirty stuff. And when I asked him, what are the laundry baskets full of? He said they were all getting ready to be donated because all of the items were ugly. And in appraisal school, we learned that if it's ugly, sometimes it has value. Well, I picked up a vase, a dirty, grimy, and it turned out to be worth about $25,000. And there were two of them in the laundry basket. So I cleaned them up. I shipped them off to the right auction house, and they sold for $57,800.
Wow.
And they never would have known.
That's amazing. Yeah, I suppose even over time they've forgotten what they've bought and why they bought it.
Or they've inherited something, they think it has value, and then it ends up not having much value. Or they've ignored something they've inherited, putting something on the mantle, and then someone like me comes in and announces that it has significant value.
That'd be a nice surprise that anyone would love to have.
Yes. Sure.
Can you give us some top tips for the next generation when their loved one dies and it's up to the kids or the next generation to deal with an estate? What's some tips that you can share?
Well, I'm a really big believer in getting everybody who's involved together, if at all possible, virtually or in person. The executor has to take the lead, but I always recommend when you go into the home for the first time, it can be very paralyzing experience. So I recommend starting from the top down. If there's an attic in the home, create an assembly line of people and then start dividing these things into the four piles I was mentioning earlier, what to sell, keep, donate, and discard. Then you go down to the second floor or the first floor or the basement. This methodology seems to work fairly well. I think the hardest part is maybe the children need to create a wish list of the items that they would like to have. Not a guarantee, but that they would like to have. And I would certainly have an appraiser come in and at least assign a value to those items so that they can be equitably distributed, if at all possible.
Is that something that's common that the siblings or the next generation disagree?
I think saying disagree is an understatement. I think if they were in a boxing ring, they might win some sort of championship.
Wow.
I've seen more fighting in my 30 years than you could possibly imagine. And it's usually because mom and dad didn't gift while they were still alive or did not allocate a certain heirloom to a certain child. But everybody really needs to know what is going on. Otherwise, it becomes he said, she said.
It sounds like it could be nearly like World War III, by the way you've been talking. You've had a lot of experience. If you've been in the business for over 25 years, you must have seen lots of incidences.
Yes.
Where families don't get along, and it's so sad too, isn't it, to end up like this?
I think it's very sad because what the parents don't understand is that this anger and resentment and bad feelings do not just last the week of the funeral. It lasts the remainder of their lives. And then their children don't speak to each other. And it's a terrible pattern that just continues on.
Oh, that's such a shame. So, well, while you're giving advice then, can you tell us some things that what not to do then?
Well, I think it's a good idea to always be caring and compassionate. So not to be the other way. Don't be greedy. Don't take things ahead of time. For me, one of the biggest tips is people have a tendency to take too many things back to their home, which can cause marital strife. The children don't want it. So it becomes a bigger problem for the next generation when they have to clean out our estate. So I always say, be very careful what you take from estates, edit it, take pictures. It takes up less space because you're just kicking the can down the road for the next generation. And that generation doesn't really care nearly as much as we do about our parents' or grandparents' possessions.
Mm. Well, that's very wise advice. It's amazing that we sort of, it's something that we haven't in the past given much thought to. Are there a lot of people in this business that you're in that are helping estates? Is this something that the executors do, or is this something that they're just starting to do? Is it something that's must be invaluable to work out how to sort out?
Well, actually, our occupation goes back to ancient Rome, where there were public auctions being held. So we've been around a long time, but I think, like I said, with the aging statistics and busy boomer children, they're still working, they still have active lives, they live geographically remote from mom and dad. So often they will hire professionals to help them along the way and make sure that the house is emptied so that the house can be sold. Often that house is their largest asset, and that's what they want to get down to.
Right. So what type of things have you found that has value that siblings didn't, or the next generation did not realize there was much value in?
The daughter-in-law came to the meeting and they wanted me to look at all the jewelry. And they said, Mom gave the daughter-in-law a purple ring. It's just a cheap amethyst. And when I looked at the ring, I realized it was not an amethyst. And it was actually a very rare stone, an alexandrite. And if it turned out to be real, based on the size of it, it would be worth $90,000 to $100,000. So the children were very, very upset. The daughter-in-law was very upset. And I suggested having it sent off to get a professional to look at it. Several weeks later, they called me and said it was real. It did appraise at $93,000. And now the family is fighting because the daughter-in-law did not want to give it back because it was a gift to her. So I made the recommendation to sell the ring and take the whole family on a cruise. And that's exactly what they did. I said, it's the right thing to do. And it would make Mom very happy. It would honor her.
It's amazing. So there's things there that we shouldn't rush into disposing of because we never know what it might be worth.
That's right. And, you know, the older generations have some really fascinating collectibles in their homes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have the value that they once did. I think the hardest part for the older generation is understanding that the younger generations don't have the desire for a lot of what they own. So it becomes the law of supply and demand. And there's simply too much of it on the market, and not enough demand for it. So through the years, the prices have declined. I mean, definitely diminished.
Right. Yes. I can remember when I was young, that was something that they seemed to collect things. They collected the cups and saucers or the or the teaspoons or something. They were always collecting and collecting. But, yes, Parrish, my son, would be the last thing he'd want was a spoon collection or something like that.
But it was important to them, and they cherished finding those items. Now, don't you find it interesting that we inherit these things and we collect them and we seek them out and we display them in our homes, but we fail to make a plan for them?
Mm. So what is your parting wish list for us? What should we do? You're just saying that we should have a plan. So is that the key to having a successful estate passing, that we should have a plan? What else should we be doing?
Yes, you should be talking to a lawyer. You should be talking to your children. You should be allocating things while you are still quite capable of doing so, and letting your children know the locations of all of your legal documents. I think as we age, we should own less, and we should begin to thin out the home. It doesn't mean get rid of all the good stuff. It just means thin it out of things that we really don't use anymore. And my book, Inheriting Clutter, How to Calm the Chaos Our Parents Leave Behind, really lines up that game plan for people, and even includes little love notes to our older parents along the way to help them make decisions.
Oh. That sounds absolutely wonderful advice, and you've got such a very caring and sharing nature in there. So if anyone wanted to find out more about you or to contact you, where would they go?
Well, they would go to my website, which is www.theestatelady.com, and they can reach me through the website, and the book is available on Amazon.
Thank you very much. It's been truly interesting and eye-opening to hear about the problems that can be overcome with estates.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. It is a fascinating subject matter.
Yes, and something that we probably all should be paying attention to sooner than later.
I think so.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.